Just because you've never been hit in the head with a puck doesn't mean you can't sound like you've been hit in the head with a puck.
No, Cootie Hands.
The Toucher and Rich Drunken Bruins Recap on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think I get rid of this song. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. A wild game yesterday. A wild game in TD Garden. Marchand with the hat trick. You almost had Krug with the hat trick.
Responsible for 5 of the 6 goals. Scored 3 on his own. Assisted on 2 of them. Which is unbelievable last night.
Combined 9 points between the two players.
So after a fairly lengthy hiatus, it seems like the Bruins are on top of people's minds. I mean, I was talking yesterday to someone who was at the Pittsburgh game, and the crowd is electric. People are back into it. It's good news. By the way, no one's going to work today. I'm looking at the traffic and just people.
We're all scared away because it doesn't seem like much.
No, but it's must be fantastic just to go, I'm not going to work. Like, collectively as a city saying, I'm not going to work. All right, but nonetheless, Nick was out there at the game yesterday. And here is what happened.
You got the right guys.
All right. Can we use this for the radio?
That's just the sound of Boston.
Yeah, right. It's just like you were dropped out of the sky. And someone said, what city are you in?
Yep.
It's Boston.
Just Boston. Just
You got the right guys.
All right. Can we use this for the radio?
You certainly can.
What do you think about tonight's game?
Epic.
Insane.
Insane. Awesome. Had every piece of hockey you could ask for. Fights, hat tricks, overtime, 11 goals. Perfect.
All right. What was your favorite part of the game?
The hat trick. Game winner, man.
Absolutely. OT. Let's go.
What do you think about the injury to McAvoy and Bergeron?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm more upset that I bought this Rask jersey. And I've been to 2 games and both games Hudobin's played.
Okay. I bought my McAvoy jersey tonight.
You did?
It's my first ever Bruins jersey.
Okay.
Well, it's like losing your virginity. And I could see if you have your Rask jersey, I'm being very upset that Hudobin was in goal. Like, you're pointing at it like, I was going to be the guy.
All for nothing.
I want to support the guy that's in the goal. But he won't be playing. So I'm wearing this jersey like a schmuck.
Maybe he thinks he insulted Hudobin. Hudobin's going to look up and one lone tear is going to come out of his right eye.
It's like, why are all these Rask jerseys in? He's not even playing. Why is there not more Hudobin jerseys being sold? Oh, that's right. They don't make them. Like, why would the Bruins sell a Hudobin jersey? You know who I really like is the backup goalie.
Best buy I've ever bought.
Very cool, very cool. Do you think Gronk is going to retire and be in the WWE?
Who cares? We're talking hockey.
Yeah, it's
hockey. You're the guy.
Save that. Save that if you don't mind.
Yeah, you're the
guy. Who cares?
We're
talking hockey.
That's good.
Yeah. Anytime anyone calls in about anything other than the Bruins, that's what I'm going to play for him.
Yeah.
Who cares? We're talking hockey.
Good. I'm glad this attitude is back. It's good. This town needs that hunger. This town needs this team.
It's coming back, man. I'm feeling it.
Now, they might get swept in the first round, but nonetheless, the run-up should be interesting.
Gronk is going to retire and be in the WWE.
Who cares? We're talking hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey.
We're talking hockey, baby.
Listen, I mix it up, okay? Do you guys know Bird?
Yeah, Larry. I know Bird. And I know Bird. Yes, I know Bird.
You know Bird?
Oh, my God.
Everyone knows Bird. Everyone knows who Bird is.
How the hell does everyone know Bird? Well, first of all, explains why he's alive, and I'm not joking, and I'm not being sarcastic. Bird, for all intents and purposes, should not exist. I mean, he lives in a room in his parents' house. He's never had a real job. He's literally had his other job is cutting bananas at a health place, and you know that was just a job that someone handed him. Because he was so unskilled that they couldn't do anything else. So he must just rely on people knowing who he is and, like, handing him things.
Have you seen these random photos that, like, Bird has popped up in the back of, like, from years ago?
No.
Oh, yeah. Like, people have been sending me photos. Like, I didn't realize that Bird was in this photo the entire time. It's not just stuff at Fenway, because he's on the field at Fenway.
Right.
So there could be, like, different plays or, like, people, like, you know, taking a little selfie or whatever, and then Bird's just there creeping in the background. But there's been, like, other strange random, like, events that have happened in the city where you just see Bird in the background. He's everywhere.
Yeah. Because that's why he sleeps at the station.
That's right.
If you ask who sleeps at the station, I should have thought of that. It's Bird.
At least Nick is awake when he's sitting there making phone calls.
Yeah, he might get up and not answer the phones, but at least he's conscious. Yeah, Bird, this is where Bird sleeps. I'm telling you, I have a friend of mine that knows him.
Of course.
Bird is in the streets. Like, he's just constantly out of the house. You would be, too, if you lived with your parents at 36.
He's the new mayor.
I think he has a degree from Curry College. So congratulations to Curry College.
Scored a touchdown for Everett. That's good, right? Yep. Can be a mayor.
Yeah, I know Bird. And I know Bird. Yes, I know Bird.
You know Bird?
I listen to 98.5 every day.
All right.
Are you him? Because
No.
No.
I'm Nick.
Oh, you're intern Nick?
Yes.
You're intern Nick?
Wow, you didn't say Nick Cattles.
I remember when you were late, I think, one day. Was that you?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
I'm disappointed in you.
Why? Because I was late? Because
you were late.
Oh, God forbid I slipped in or something.
And you lied or something? I remember. I remember.
Wow.
So that's the reputation you have around town.
Goodness.
You're the lying late guy.
Yeah,
changes his shirt randomly because he's a weirdo with a shirt and a backpack.
I mean, there's no excuse to be late when you're living in the station. Just like he didn't smoke in the station.
Well, not technically smoke. Well, vaping is not smoking.
Well, the best is I'm like, you vaped in the station. And he's like, no, I didn't. And I'm like, I just saw you. And he's like, and then I swear to God, it was like talking to my son or my daughter. He goes, well, it was cold outside. And I said, so you went in from the outside, walked about 20 feet and then exhaled cold air? Like, what are you talking about? And he finally goes, yeah. I thought I could fool you.
I was listening. I'm disappointed in you.
Exaggerate the truth?
If you can say anything to the Boston Bruins, what would it be?
Please sign my arm, because I have a whole sleeve of them.
Oh, let me see.
So I can get it. All right, I'm going to have to, like, take off the whole thing. Yeah.
All right, so you're showing me your Boston Bruins tattoo.
Yes, and I want them to sign it so I can get it tattooed.
Oh, this. Oh, yeah.
Head down. Thank you.
Head down.
All right, if I can get out of this
Oh, Jesus, you're taking off your whole shirt.
I have to.
It's a sleeve, man.
Now people are looking at you.
I don't care.
Oh, all right.
The whole thing, baby.
Let me start by this. Do you have any Boston sports tattoos?
Yes, my whole sleeve.
All right, let me see your sleeve.
We got Bobby Orr. We got Jerry Cheevers. We got Chara, Bergeron, Ray Bourque. Did I say Bobby Orr? We got P.K. Subban being attacked by the Bruins band, and it's the Dean brother.
You get P.K. Subban being attacked by Blades the Bruins bear. Getting mauled.
I wonder if if he asked you to sign that. How are you feeling about that whole situation?
I
like that it was his second game of the season, too. Kind of gone all in. Seems like somewhere you'd want to be more than twice a year.
Right, I mean, if your entire arm...
Well, no,
now,
yeah.
Were these autographs of each player?
No, they're pictures. He said that they haven't been autographed.
Oh,
he
wants an autograph. Okay.
No, I mean, you can't get an autograph of Subban being attacked by the Blades the Bear. I mean, these are, you know, face... Like, if you're... It's a picture of Chara, I would imagine.
Cam Neely.
Listen, I couldn't fit them all.
You got a straight arm, man.
You seem like a big fan.
I'm a very big fan.
You don't say. That's an observation right there.
Yep.
You seem like a big fan.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say so. His entire arm is dedicated to the Bruins.
Yeah. But listen, maybe it was just a fleeting thought. The way he got several tattoos into his sleeve.
Can you imagine? I want to see the art on these things.
If you're a girl, 617-779-0985, if you're a girl and you go in like it's winter and then you go to like hook up with a guy and he takes his shirt off and he has a sleeve of Boston Bruins players.
How about have you ever been scared away from a tattoo? Has male or female, have you ever been with somebody and when you saw one of their tattoos, it scared you away?
Like
it's over.
If a girl has a tattoo on her chest, that to me is a deal breaker.
They'd
have to be so hot in order to get over it.
Because
even in porn, like, I'll be like, all right, okay, this is gross. Because even if it's a small, because the smaller ones just reek of trash.
Right.
But then when you get the whole mosaic on your chest, that's
I just want to know if like you've ever like been in a relationship with somebody and you finally got to the point where you could see them with or without their shirt on, or and you saw like a tattoo and went, all right, maybe this isn't the guy or girl that I thought it was.
Well, I mean, go on a cruise ship and then you'll see a whole.
Go to Hampton Beach.
All right, 617.
That's the land of tattoo regrets.
I don't know if they regret them. Just everyone else says that you made a big mistake. 617-779-0985. Have you ever been with someone
and you saw
a tattoo?
No.
Because if you're
over.
A guy, you probably still went through with it. But there has to be, have you seen a girl, or if you're a woman, have you seen a man? And then you said to yourself, all right, I can't do this.
Oh.
Like, maybe I'm afraid of a disease. Maybe I'm afraid that they're mentally ill and that something could happen.
10 years ago, we have someone in studio who was very attractive. And then we saw, like, a tattoo that said, like, Nikki Six or something on their arm. Well, and we're like, yuckaroo.
Well, does it work out? F-T-H-E... W-O-R-L-D. Yeah. There was this girl that I knew that had her, like, knuckles tattooed. She was super hot, but it was, like, something like F the World or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then you said, okay.
But you could see her knuckles. Like, I mean, if you met her, you would know.
But she was so hot that you kind of, you're like, do you want to roll the dice on this thing? Like... Like, this is like playing roulette.
Right. Right. There's a lot of situations here. Like, the emotional bonding that she might have to you if you do hook up with the F the World thing might be a little concerning.
Right. Yeah, but you know, like, like 3/4 of me is saying, let's go. But the rational part of my brain is saying, perhaps this was not the world's greatest idea. All right, 617-779-0985.
Okay, we gotta take a break. Right. But I mean, there's one online one that's, right. that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Here's
in your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We just had a recap where the guy had a sleeve of all different Bruins players throughout the ages.
PK Subban being mauled by the Bruins bear.
Right. We were talking about people having tattoos that kind of, you were going to have sex with them or something, then you saw the tattoo, and Wallach has one.
Yeah, like
that. He was very fortunate to have avoided.
Yeah, deal breaker. It was deal breaker tattoos.
It was absolutely a deal breaker.
It was ones where you're in a relationship, or you think you're going to hook up, and then you see it and you go, whoa, exit stage left.
Now, this date happened in June, and it's very important the time of year that it happened. It happened in June. It was in between marriages. I was about a year out of my divorce, and I went out on a date. A weekday in June, and the woman sits down at the table, very attractive, like 5'11", you know, 155, 160,
she's
whatever.
Good looking.
Really good looking, long blonde hair. She sits down, puts her arm on the table, and inside her right forearm, in big letters across, and we're talking big, like 2-inch letters, it says, Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I looked at that, and I'm like, it doesn't matter what you say for the rest of the evening. Yeah. The meal lasted, it seemed like 2 hours, and in reality, it was like 45 minutes. If it was winter, I would have missed it.
Yeah.
And then if it was winter, we would have gone a long ways down the track, and then it would have been a whole separate thing.
And then you would have had to have gone through with it.
Yes.
Because there's turning back at that point.
Honest to God, yeah. There would be no turning back, and then it would have ended badly.
And then it's like a roller coaster. So you got to hang on. You don't know where it's going to go next.
I know.
All right.
Thank God it was in June.
Joe, go ahead.
Good morning, boys. Steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs. Hey.
All right. So there was a long impaired night one time, and me and three of my buddies went to a nightclub and found a girl, and she had two friends. So it's a perfect scenario. We paired off and came back to my apartment. And I get to business, and she has... in the same font as Tupac's Thug Life, New Bedford, tattooed above her pelvis.
Oh, boy.
run fast.
I was impaired enough that it wasn't a deal breaker.
No,
it's cool.
No, it's not a deal breaker.
Oh,
once
my
you get
God.
To that, yeah, because once you get to that, so how did it work out for you?
Oh, honestly, the funniest story of my life. I hear ruckus from the other room, and my two friends had paired off with her friends, and they are sitting Indian style with a girl sitting right next to them about 10 feet away, and one of them had hookah hoops on, and they are playing ring toss back and forth with each other. And I had to close the book on the night after that.
I need to find this girl for Tony Jeopardy. Because we already got a guy with the Everett tattoo on his stomach. But the New Bedford one, that's a whole new level. Right above the pelvis, too.
Yeah. I don't know where... I don't even know where New Bedford is, but it's obviously a magical place.
It is south. It's down by it's the Cape area.
Yes. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
what's up?
So I'm at a party in Quincy and I'm hanging out with this girl and we end up Ubering back to her house and, start, you know, and, things switch up. And then I notice on, her behind two, like archery targets, one on each.
Oh, jeez.
Well, at least it was instructional.
Well, why would you do that?
And I honestly started dying laughing, and she starts getting all upset, like, what?
Like, what's you're like, well, it's because you have two targets on your ass.
Well, I asked her, well, no, this is the best part. She, like, thought I didn't know what they were. I'm like, well, what are those? And she goes, they're targets. And I was like, no, I'm fully aware, but why do you have them? And she got all upset. And I ended up just leaving.
Did she ever explain why she had two targets on her ass?
I think the explanation wasn't necessary.
Okay. By the way, you're very skilled at telling that tale without going over the line. I like how you said we switched things up.
Because you're seeing that with a bathing suit on.
Like that?
I mean, that's something, if it's on each cheek, I mean, you're not hiding that when you go to the beach.
That's like if you saw that in a porn, you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
That is a statement. That is a statement for the rest of your... How do you get married? Well, you can never conceive. I mean, that's for sure.
For sure. I mean, if you do your job correctly.
I mean, yeah.
And follow the signs.
Yeah. I mean, you'd never be able to...
That's a good point.
Conceive. If you followed directions. It went by what was going on. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
All right, so funny story. Probably 5-6 years ago, from school, get this girl back to my house, and kind of same thing as the other guy. On each butt cheek, one said exit, the other one said only.
Well, it's like having an ID bracelet that says you're allergic to amoxicillin.
I mean,
it's an instruction. Because there's nothing more attractive than thinking of a woman going to the bathroom in that situation.
What goes through their head?
That's amazing. She was so nervous.
No. It's not only that. It's just like, poo.
Right, it's the most romantic tattoo of all time.
Yeah, it might as well
just
like,
to remind you, just,
I go to the bathroom.
Right. Just as a reminder as you're making love.
Wait, what is this? Patrick, go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Good. I met this girl and we kind of hit it off and we ended up going back to her place and things proceeded. And when I looked to her lower area, she had a Massachusetts town sign and it said entering. And it was her last name, which is also a town name here in Massachusetts.
Okay,
so you can't say the name. So let's say her name was Alston. Entering Alston is what it said.
Okay, so entering Alston.
That's great. Okay. I mean, that's like,
There's a strong possibility of getting laid.
Okay, don't you think that you have, as a tattoo artist, an obligation to tell that person no?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, dude, on the wall they have wizards holding every tattoo place I've ever been into.
Maybe you love D&D.
Yeah, they have wizards like holding a crystal ball with the earth in it.
Or maybe you're Tim Duncan with your wizard tattoo.
I mean, that's just going to the wall and saying, I'll take this one.
Oh, man, that is the best. The deal breaker, the Targets one, I just don't understand. Like, I wish that guy would have stuck around to hear what the explanation was.
No, he said the explanation's not necessary. I like that she was offended that he started laughing, though. You would think that you'd have a sense of humor if you had two Targets tattooed on your butt cheeks. You would think that there would be some sort of jovial part of you that didn't take life so seriously. What are you laughing at? Oh, I don't know. The Three Stooges are on TV. Their pants are off, and I'm looking at you. That's what I'm laughing at. Here's the CBS Sports Minute. I already did that.
Yes.
Jeff Carbone Insurance. All right, hear the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. This is worthy of taking. It's deal breaker tattoos, but this is, we were going to move on, but we have to take this one. Justin, go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
All right, so back in college, I was dating this girl, and we went on a couple dates, and we end up back in my dorm room after one of the dates, and everything's going great. Started doing what we were doing. Decided to change positions. And this girl was super preppy. I had no idea she had tattoos. We changed positions, and all of a sudden, I look at her shoulder, and she's got a montage to her passed away grandparents. And all I could see, and it was a face. This was back when, like, face tattoos were cool.
Yeah.
And all I could see was grandma staring at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't handle it. It was an absolute downer. Even changing position, it was done.
Yeah, because I've always thought about that. Like, some people will get tattoos of, like, their parent or grandparent with, like, the dates of their life.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, like, all right, that's, you know, a nice thing to do, I suppose. Like, it's a memorial to you, but, you know,
you got to be prepared for fallout from that.
Yeah, like, you know,
especially if you're young. I mean, if you get this and it's a nice tribute if you're 15, 16, 17 and you were close to your grandparents, but you have to be prepared for some ancillary fallout in about 3 years after that.
Yeah, you. I knew a guy that had a tattoo of Groucho Marx on his forearm.
Why?
And it was like the best tattoo ever. Like, the artist was like incredible.
Okay.
And it made it even 100 times worse. It was like a portrait of Groucho Marx. You're never going to get laid again. It's your entire forearm. All right. We have a special guest. Rock and Roll Mike. Hello, Rock and Roll Mike.
Rock and Roll Mike. What's up, guys?
All right. Rock and Roll Mike, what are you up to?
What am I up to? I'm out of space.
Rock and Roll Mike, I can't have you on.
Just,
I mean, when you're swearing within 30 seconds, Rock and Roll Mike, I can't do it.
See, the problem was when we had him in here, that was a problem. And he knew, I gotta give him credit, there are certain things that get through to Mike and there are certain things that don't. That part got through to him. He realized he had made a mistake.
Right.
And then that kind of cut his visit short a little bit. But he's been back on, and once or twice he's done this, and you've warned him. So it gets in occasionally, but there's that force, that impenetrable wall that, I guess, keeps it from being material that is digested, if you understand what I'm saying.
No, I completely understand what you're saying. Just, is that
it
rock
would be
and roll
great
Mike,
if it wasn't for this one thing.
Yeah, that he just continually swears.
Mike, there are certain things you can say on the radio. Can say when you're just with people as opposed to being on air.
Okay, so by the way, I think Tom Curran's done an excellent job of covering the Patriots since the season is ended. And he wrote an article about if Belichick is listening to anyone anymore.
Right.
And, you know, he talked back in, I think it was 2006, about how important it was to have people around you that would talk to you and, you know, second guess you. So he used that as evidence. And it, have you read ever read the comments on an article about the Patriots that is at all questioning them at all?
I used to. I know where you're going with this. I used to do it, and it just gets depressing after a while.
Like, people act like, because Curran's generally, you know, positive about the Patriots, and I suppose why wouldn't he be? They win constantly. But people are, like, acting like they're betrayed, like that Curran has somehow betrayed them by daring to write an article at all critical of the Patriots.
Well, that's just it. You're not part of the team. You know, the Patriots, it's even worse now. It used to be the same way before Deflategate and all that stuff. I mean, Patriot fans were like this. But now that Deflategate has happened and the rest of America hates this team, anything negative, you're not on our side. You know, we're under siege here. You gotta hold up that wall. You got to make sure. Honest to God, Patriots fans at times are like ostriches. They'll stick their head in the sand, or they'll cover their ears like a 6-year-old and go, la, 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 not listening.
I just don't understand how it's offensive to you that, okay, so Malcolm Butler doesn't play.
What difference does it make to your life?
Well, here's the deal, is that how can you be a Patriots fan? You see Malcolm Butler doesn't play. So Curran's point is, so there was this massive thing that happened in the Super Bowl where they took a player who had played 97% of the defensive snaps out of the game, the complete game. So that's obviously a controversial decision. Is that the reason they didn't win the Super Bowl? Perhaps. I mean, really, perhaps. So he goes back and finds an article in a question that he asked Belichick in 2006 about having it be important to have someone tell you no, to have someone be honest with you. So then he raises the question, is this, you know, 12 years later, still the way that Bill Belichick has things? Is there someone in the system that will challenge him? And it's a valid point. Why that offends people is just out of, what is this fan base going to do when the team eventually sucks?
It's not just that. I mean, let's just focus on the here and now. That'll be a problem when the team finally goes 8-8 or 7-9 in the future, whenever that is. But think about this. You're a Patriots fan. You're reading an article that is not really critical of the team.
No,
it's hypothesizing right. about something compared to a thought process 11 years ago. It's okay to disagree. I mean, you don't have to necessarily attack the writer. You say, well, okay, he's wrong. I don't agree with that. He's wrong. But to actually spend time commenting and calling this guy names for writing something. And by the way, it's a guy who's pretty good. He's a pretty good insider. Has been covering the team a long time.
That's part of it.
Has personal relationships with people in the organization that you can look at and go, you know what? Maybe he knows what he's talking about.
Well, that's the thing, is that people feel a sense of betrayal because he dared write something critical
but,
of the Patriots.
He's not paid by the organization. He's paid to write what he knows. This isn't a guy. Remember, I forget who wrote the article. Maybe it was Greg Rosenthal. This isn't a guy who parachutes in from outside, covers the team once every 6 months, and writes an article about how Belichick cheats because he reads the Jumbotron off the CBS Sports. Remember that? CBS scene monitor. He gets a secret replay. Stuff like that you can look at and go, you're out of your mind. You know nothing.
Right.
Tom Curran's been around a while. Back off a little bit.
That's why they feel betrayed.
Or just disagree with him and not get crazy.
John, go ahead.
Fred, you asked rhetorically how you could be a Patriots fan before you asked some incoherent question to Wallach. It's pretty easy.
I didn't say how you could be a Patriots fan. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. You said, how can you be a Patriots fan?
No, I didn't. I said, how can you get upset about the article?
The article actually coming from Curran is probably the best insight you're going to get. It's probably 10 times better than that Wickersham garbage.
All right, that's my point, is that my point about the article was that people, if you read the comments, people are freaking out on Curran and they feel a sense of betrayal about it.
I would freak out on Wickersham 10 times more than I would freak out on Curran. If Curran's saying something is there,
okay, then what's there. Okay, then you're agreeing
with
me.
That's the point. That's the whole point we're making.
Then you completely agree with me.
So you said, how can you be a Patriots fan and not buy into what Curran is saying? Well, I can tell you.
What?
Because every time somebody is... Isn't that what you're saying? How can you be a Patriots fan and ignore...
No, my point is that to attack Curran because he dared write something that was semi-critical of the team and then act like you're betrayed the point I was making. Is that that's weird?
It's not weird in the whole context of what happened in the Super Bowl. I think everybody feels betrayed after the Super Bowl. I think what Curran is doing is simply stating the obvious. And as a fan, people are a little bit sensitive these days to what the obvious is. And my whole point was, you're a fan through thick and thin. So it doesn't really matter what, you know, what happens. But at the end of the day, this wasn't worse than 07, but this was a close second. This was a close second, given that they could have controlled things better. So anything that's written about these guys, it's gonna be sensitive for a long time, regardless of how coherent the argument is.
Okay. All right, so we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And the snow has begun to fall. The 1 to 3 inches. That's going to be coming down. I'm fascinated by 95 throughout the country being the line of demarcation. If you are west of 95 in any place.
It's like a big wall, 95.
It is. It's like Game of Thrones.
Yep.
It is the wall of snow.
It fascinates me, the snow totals, when you go from television station to television station in a situation like this.
Yeah.
Because they're so locked into their numbers. They have to move the rain snow line further east or further west, and they're sticking with it, man. There's no variation.
Well, the Globe and Fox say 1 to 3 inches. Unless you're west of 95, and then they say 3 to 5.
Okay.
So nothing
that's
big.
Good for me. Yeah. That's good. Outside of 495, it's pretty much unanimous. You're going to get hit pretty hard.
Well, okay. You know, you decided to live outside the city.
So I mean, that's your fault.
Yeah. I mean, things are going to happen. Sure. The Washington Post has an article about Alex Ovechkin. I wish more people would do this. One of my favorite things in magazines is... They'll go to someone's like office, and then they'll take a picture of it, and then they'll kind of take you through the stuff that they have in their office. I find that fascinating. So they go to Ovechkin's. He's got a house in Virginia, and he's got a house outside of Moscow. So they go to his house, and there's all this stuff. Like, he keeps his sticks from big goals, and he has the guys that gave him the assist to sign them. And, you know, he's got gloves up on the wall. He likes to keep his things. And then they drop in this article like nothing happened without any kind of photographic evidence. There's a painting in the living room depicting Ovechkin riding a horse while playing the mandolin.
That's almost as good as A-Rod as a senator.
Well, that's the point that in this article that is they say half a rod or half A-Rod is what they say.
That's great.
That he is not a centaur. But doesn't Putin have like a picture of himself, like a bunch of pictures of himself shirtless, like riding a steed?
I've heard Putin has I forget where I read this. You know the Drago thing that gets unfurled before the big fight at the end of the game?
Yeah.
I've heard Putin has something similar to that.
No, but I think that he has paintings of himself shirtless, like riding like a great steed. So Ovechkin commissioned someone to draw a picture of him riding a horse playing the mandolin.
Hmm.
And the Washington Post just slips it in like there's nothing going on. It's one way. It's one sentence. Instead of exploring that further and asking why, how can you be a journalist?
That begs at least one question.
The sentence just says there's a painting in the living room depicting Ovechkin riding a horse while playing the mandolin.
So he's not a horse playing a mandolin.
No,
he's not like half horse.
No, he's not a centaur. He's riding a horse playing the mandolin.
See, it would make more sense if he was half horse playing the mandolin.
No, it wouldn't.
Sure, it would.
How would that make more sense?
Centaurs played mandolins in olden times.
No, but perhaps he posed on the horse playing the mandolin, and this is what they
at least question, why a mandolin?
Well, they throw it in. The next one will be from his 600th tally of his career and what has become a tradition. Ovechkin will ask the players who record an assist on the goal to sign as the stick before it's displayed in the basement of his Northern Virginia home. And then it says, in Moscow, there's a painting in the living room depicting Ovechkin riding a horse while playing the mandolin.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's weird. That's weird on all sorts of levels.
They flew out to Moscow to review what's in his home, and they came away with that. That was all they did. Well, the Bruins last night,
what kind of point do you get to mentally where, I mean, he's the best goal scorer of this generation. He's going to be a top five goal scorer all time. He's got 600 goals in less than 1,000 games. I mean, he's still young enough where he could make a run at Jager in the top five. I mean, he's that good. But where do you get to mentally where you believe that, A, it's okay to do that and look at it every day, and B, it's okay to invite someone in who you don't know to show it to them?
Well, because you're like a god in Russia, and then you have more money than you know what to do with, and why not? I mean, you know, it's like a Led Zeppelin kind of thing.
I mean, wait, do you show that and start nodding your head with a smile going, check me out?
Yes, of course. You feel good enough about yourself that is warranted.
I wish I could live a life like that for 5 minutes.
All right, so the Bruins win last night. Now every win in the short term matters because it means that people can heal, that they can take their time. There's no reason to rush Bergeron back. There's no reason to rush Rask back. Whatever minor thing is ailing him, they're giving him a chance to rest. There's no reason to rush McAvoy back. So there is a sense of contentment now with me because again, the team has to go 500. And if the team goes 500, they're going to get 101 points, which will be good for second place in the division.
You have a little cushion here. You're up 5 points with four games in hand on Toronto. And for Toronto to pass you, I think they have to win 13 of their last 18 or something
yes,
like
they,
that.
They have to be on fire. Difficult. Yeah.
And it's a good thing you have this cushion because you now play every other day for the rest of the season.
Right.
Literally, if you look, it's every other day for the rest of the season. You have back-to-back four-game road trips with one home game in the middle there. I mean, it could be. If you did not have this cushion, it could be a lot worse for you.
No, if you didn't have the thing that's reassuring about this is if you didn't have this cushion, Bergeron would be playing, and Rask
would
have
risk
to fight
further injury.
Right,
yes.
And Rask would have to fight through whatever's bothering him. They have the luxury now of resting these guys and getting them healthy for the playoffs, which is all that matters. I don't even care if Toronto passes them. The idea, well, I'd prefer not, but at the end of the day, it's not the worst thing. But they are going to finish top three in this division. So this is the most excited I've been about the playoffs since 2013. I mean, this is a team that could and should be healthy. And then, you know, then you can start resting Marchand. You can rest Pastrnak. You can give guys a night off here and there.
You have that extra defenseman now that you needed. You have that extra forward now that you needed. If you didn't get Nash and you didn't get Holden, I mean, where are your lines?
Well, Holden's been a huge piece. And Holden was something that I joked about because I'd heard his name, but I was, you know, I'm not watching Rangers game on the regular.
Yeah, this isn't a minor league defenseman you're bringing up and hoping. Remember in the playoffs, it was last year or 3 years ago, where they were just pulling people in off the street at the last minute?
Yeah, they brought the little guy in. What's his face? Two names.
I forget. I know who you're talking about, but the name eludes me.
No, John Michael Lyles.
Oh, there's John Michael Lyles.
Johnny, names.
You had guys like Tommy Cross, who hadn't played an NHL game all season, skating on your second D pair. I mean, you had guys that hadn't played in 3 weeks coming in and playing games for you in the playoffs.
And even with the injury to McAvoy, you still have McQuaid, who's not playing regularly. So the worst case scenario is that McQuaid comes in the third pairing.
You can say what you want about Holden, but he's an actual NHL defenseman that was getting time for an NHL team
He was a first pairing defenseman for the Rangers. So, yes. All right. We are doing a contest looking for someone. On Friday, we will be playing a wrestling Jeopardy, and you will be going up against the champion, Sarge. He is there. The Kowloon crew is very excited. You and Tev until 5 o'clock today to get in your entry. It is on Twitter. It is Crush the Crew Contest, K-Crush, K-Crew C contest.
Yes.
And there is a reason is that we didn't win 3 K's in a row. It occurred to us,
we were formulating the plan.
Well, because the K's are for the Kowloon crew.
Sure.
Obviously. So you have the Kowloon crew who's going to participate in this contest as well. You never know. Andy Wong might pop up in something. Chase Stu, obviously, looking to get involved.
If you're a woman and you love wrestling, please submit.
Well, if you're a woman and you want attention, come into the studio because people will freak out.
So we had a very good one, a female submission last night.
Okay, well, I haven't seen any of these. Yep. Rich has put some of these entries we've already gotten together. We'll have them for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.